The content and opinions expressed during this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. Your hosts, Bradley Butterfield, Marlene Sexton, and Brandy Wiltermuth, have over 30 years experience treating health issues associated with excess body weight. Get ready for an in-depth, honest discussion about weight loss and your health. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's T-H-R-E-E.health.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We offer medical and behavioral solutions for weight loss, reversing diabetes, and cardiometabolic disorders. I'm Brad Butterfield, the Executive Director and a practicing psychotherapist with 3Health. And with me today are Brandy Wiltermuth, ARNP, and the Medical Director at 3Health. Hi, Brandy.
Hello.
Also, with me today is Marlene Sexton. Marlene is a practicing psychotherapist with 3Health, and she's the director of therapy at 3Health.
Good morning.
Hi, Marlene.
Hi.
Also with us today is Alexis Morales. Alexis is one of our medical assistants, and she's our director of operations. Hi, Alexis.
Good morning.
I'm happy to have everybody here today.
Good to be here.
So, for our first segment, we were going to call this In the News, and the reason that we're calling that, we were going to talk about a recent relevant article or event that we saw in the news this week around weight loss or bariatric medicine. And Brandy, Marlene, Alexis, what we saw an article in New York Times. It was about intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that.
So this article is sort of a first-person account of the idea of how intermittent fasting impacted this person's health. And interestingly, the person is a type 1 diabetic. And traditionally, type 1 diabetics, well, and type 2 diabetics for that matter, are sort of on this schedule of having to eat, check blood sugar, give insulin, and regulate that way.
So traditionally, the idea of fasting for diabetics hasn't been recommended.
It hasn't necessarily because we want to avoid those low blood glucose numbers. They're okay. Very uncomfortable for people. And this person was interested in intermittent fasting from sort of the weight loss angle, but then also just to see if his attention to eating and medicating with insulin could decrease because, as he mentions, he has spent a good amount of mental energy every day thinking about food, thinking about what he's eating, calculating those numbers because he had to come up with a dose of insulin to go along with the food. And you can only imagine, if you're eating several times a day, how much time and energy you have to put into doing that.
And we hear that a lot with patients with type 2 diabetes when they're working our program, saying it's just a relief not to be thinking about food all day.
Yeah.
Whether it's emotionally thinking about it or thinking about it, you know, metabolically, what do I need to have?
Right. And so I guess the concept of intermittent fasting, if anyone is unaware, just means that if you have a period of time that you're not eating that's greater than 4 hours, then that's called fasting. And there are lots of different suggestions about how to do effective intermittent fasting. But it's really personal, and everyone can explore doing it in a way that's comfortable for them. And there are health benefits as well.
So, Brandy, I'm always taking us kind of back to basics here. We're calling this intermittent fasting, which to me is a deliberate effort. it's quite a bit different than people who are on a diet just saying, I'm just not going to eat so I can lose weight. So let's talk about why this is different than not eating, or it's a practice or a deliberate effort, and what the difference is.
So one of the main differences is that you're not restricting necessarily the kinds of foods that you're eating as much as looking at a timeline of when do I start eating and when do I stop eating during the day. Although I think that if your goal is weight loss or to reduce your insulin dose, then the more attention you do pay to the food that you're eating when you are in your eating window, the bigger impact it's going to have. So, and it's also really hard to go and eat, say, a quart of ice cream and say, well, no, I'm not going to eat for 12 hours. Your blood sugar is not going to allow that.
Okay.
So there's a big difference. And there's also a big difference between fasting and starving. Starving is usually unintentional, and nobody's choosing to do that. There is no food available, so it's not the same. And most of the time when people have tried to fast for long periods for weight loss, they didn't have a very good structure of eating when they were in their eating window, and that just led to binging. So there's a lot of things that it's not, but it is just saying there's a certain amount of time in the day that I allow myself to eat, and I can be super restrictive about the types of foods that I eat during that time, or I can be a little more liberal and not pay attention to that. It kind of depends on the goal.
And so outside that eating time, that would be considered the intermittent fasting time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also called time-restricted eating, which I think sounds better. It feels better for people to say that. But the concepts are the same, that the goal really is to decrease the amount of food that your body has to process, which then in turn decreases a whole bunch of things like inflammation. And when your body has to process food, it's not doing other things. So there's a couple different reasons why people choose to do it. But it's been known for a very long time that fasting helps improve a lot of different conditions, not just insulin sensitivity or weight, but inflammation and definitely GI distress and things like that. And people naturally do it when they have a stomach flu. You know, you might not eat for 48 hours. That's because your body doesn't want it.
So with intermittent fasting in this practice or this time-restricted eating zone of sorts, would you be doing that on a regular basis for a number of days?
Usually I try to get people, if they're going to be eating, if they're going to have an eating window every day, meaning they're not going beyond 24-hour fast, then we try to have consistency. And most people start with a 12-hour fast, 12-hour eating window, which, you know, is no great difficulty usually. If you eat breakfast at 7, you're done eating by 7 p.m. What we find is that people have to adjust it to their schedule. So 7 and 7 may not be the time that works for you. And one of the most popular ways to go about trimming that time down is to then skip breakfast and maybe eat at 11 and then don't eat until, or just stop eating at 7 p.m. And that also helps sort of increase awareness of a lot of the eating that happens that we don't really catalog or pay attention to, because it's more emotional or because it's done in secrecy, or, you know, all of these other things that aren't related to actually being hungry or needing food.
So that might be eating that takes place after 7 p.m. in front of the TV where we're grazing or
typically
putting things in our mouths that we don't need to be after dinner or something like that.
Well, we get so many messages to eat. I mean, everything, you know, you need your 3 square meals a day and your 2 snacks, and breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And
there's so many rules.
There are so many rules around it that, I mean, people, we really do start thinking, well, I better eat something.
Yeah.
With the intermittent fasting, I'm thinking of like spiritual leaders that usually part of their routine is fasting. Is that for clarity?
You'd have to ask them because I'm not one of those people. But it's very common in a lot of different spiritual quests, and I'm sure it's used in a lot of different ways all over the world. But I would assume that food is a distraction, and it takes energy to do a digestion of food, and also creating food, preparing it, shopping, all of that stuff takes a lot of time and energy.
Yeah, because I hear it even from clients that maybe are doing intermittent fasting or keto, saying that they have a lot more mental clarity.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about it. Mm-hmm. That's also a benefit of the ketogenic diet, is that you're not at the mercy of the energy available in your blood at all times. So you're able to tap into the energy source that is most abundant in your body, which is fat, and that is usually not going to run out. So you have no lapse in the amount of energy that you need to do what you need to do, and your thinking is not distracted by that.
Yeah, interesting.
So, Brandy, you talked about this 12 and 12, which was maybe an eating zone of 12 hours and a fasting zone of 12 hours. Would you say that might be a beginner's way to do intermittent fasting?
Yeah, and I think the awareness of just kind of looking at that really helps people evaluate, well, what are my eating habits that may not be beneficial to me? Maybe I'm not sleeping well because I'm going to bed with a full stomach. You know, people gain insight into a lot of their eating habits when they start thinking about putting a time restriction on the hours that they're allowed to eat during the day.
And then are people planning social events and other things around that also?
Yeah.
With that, do you think?
I think that most people have to consider eating with others and eating out and what their work hours are and all of those things. So there's no, like I said, the 7 to 7 isn't going to work for everybody. But most people that work like a day shift and or a 9 to 5, that's going to be a reasonable place to start. You can always adjust it.
And then as this might progress for somebody, have you changed these times up or made longer intermittent
fasts? The goal is to get to a 16-hour fast and an 8-hour window of eating.
For extended periods?
Yeah, for weeks. You know, I don't think it's as impactful if you do it every other day or something like that. But if you can do it for at least 5 days in a row, it's thought that that's going to be beneficial rather than doing it, say, every other day.
I see. So you would do that for 5 days and then maybe go back to...
Maybe take a break over the weekend or, you know, it just kind of depends on, again, social stuff. And there's a lot of research going on about what is the best way to go about fasting. And we went to Low Carb USA and we heard all about these extended intermittent fasts where people are asked to go 36 hours without eating. And I would just like to help people understand that the people that are doing that are very ill and they are trying to make dramatic changes in their body in a very short period of time. And I generally don't need to do that with people, and they get just as much benefit from doing a 16-8-hour fast.
Okay.
So I think that that actually is a better way, because the other thing that I don't want people to slip into is kind of that starvation thinking. But if you eat the food that you enjoy that makes you feel good and is, you know, fitting into your lifestyle during that 8-hour window, most people don't feel deprived. They feel relieved that they don't have to be thinking about food all of the time. And that's one of the best things about it.
So it's definitely creating a different sort of discipline.
It is. And I think you just have to try it. If you're interested, you have to try it. Start with a 12-12, and then you can shave it down to a 14-10, see how that goes. If it's, you know, working really well at that level, then you don't really need to go any further. But you don't want to be so hungry and ravenous that when you do eat, you can't control how much and what it is that you're eating. So there always has to be sort of a balance and a give and take about that.
Good point. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So this is our first segment in the news, and it's time for us to take a break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health, and when we come back, what's our next segment going
to
be?
I'd like to talk about some successes that a client's had this week.
Good. That'd be great. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
With decades of experience helping patients change their lives, 3Health Weight Loss Solutions can help you too. At 3Health, we provide proven and science-based solutions for realistic, achievable, and sustainable results. We're unique, just like you, and the relationships you have with food and yourself. Find out how we treat obesity, depression, high cholesterol, and more. Just give us a call and change your life today, 425-606-0022, or visit us online at 3.health. That's T-H-R-E-E dot health.
Exploring new territory every day. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. So we're in our second segment, and just before our break, Marlene, you said that you'd like to talk about some patient success stories that we heard this week. And did you have anything in mind in particular that you heard?
Yeah, well, basically just looking, you know, one of the things when you're working with people's issues and problems, it can, you know, after a while you can get kind of burned out on what's the problem, and I love thinking of what are the successes that people have had. And I've had clients this week that a great success was a woman that was able to articulate to her family what her needs were for the first time in many years. Everybody else's needs came first and foremost, and she was finally able to articulate her needs to success. Family listened to her and stuff. So just kind of wondering what other successes have you guys heard of this week with clients?
Yeah, I had a male patient this week that found himself in three different social settings. One was a kind of a special invitation down at CenturyLink Field with the Seahawks in the locker room behind the scenes, and there was a lot of beverages, alcohol, and banquet table of food being served, and he really practiced some restraint. He went into the situation not in starvation or hunger mode, but he went in with a lot of determination that he was going to really watch what he ate. He chose not to drink alcohol. I asked him that. He said, no, I decided to drink water instead, which helped with his food choices, and he was very careful with what he ate, and he came out of that pretty peer-pressured social situation and felt really good about his success that he had.
Great.
So he was feeling good about that.
Yeah, I like, you know, kind of the overall perspective that he had, too. Because whenever I hear people are holding on really tight like that and sort of feeling deprived or denying themselves things that they would have liked to have eaten, I always want to know their motivation. Is it because they're really determined to see that scale move faster? Or in his case, he's got some metabolic issues that he's very determined to improve. So it's not as much about the weight for him as it is, I'm going to have a blood test in a couple months,
right,
and I really need to make these changes to become healthier.
And it was interesting, Brandy, because it just so happened that the curriculum item this week for him was boundaries and assertiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had some fellow peers, some other guys that he was with. And rather than, you know, say I'm working on my weight loss, he was able to talk about his metabolic issues. And he felt more comfortable talking about that being a health issue rather than being a weight loss issue.
Yeah, I coach people on that because, you know, there's no rebuttal to I'm trying to be healthier. Yeah. And it's not like people don't know that the foods that they're eating aren't healthy. So when people say, yeah, I'm not going to have that because I have a health issue, there's a lot more respect for that. Mm-hmm. And it's honored a lot more than just saying I'm trying to lose weight, unfortunately.
It was a good way for him to put a boundary around it for him. So it was successful.
So one of the strategies that we talked about, actually there was a few patients besides him that you know, came in and reported to me that they held on and they didn't cheat and they did really well and they were proud of themselves and I was proud of them too. But I also ask people to think about how are we going to incorporate some of those foods back into your lifestyle and maintain your weight? And I think it really boils down to the perspective of, was I in control or not? And so what I ask people to do is track the foods that they're craving. And some people say, well, I don't have cravings. I say, okay, well, the food you thought about eating that right now isn't on your plan. So we track those foods. And once a week, we go back and look at them and we pick one and we go eat it. And it's the same day every week. And it's a controlled portion and it's outside of the home. So you're not bringing a gallon of ice cream into your house and saying, I'm going to have half a cup. You go out of the house and have a portion. But the whole point of it is to recognize that you made a decision to have it and you didn't make a mistake or cheat or blow it. And just that mindset is so much different than always feeling like you're hanging on.
Yeah, being deprived and can never have that again.
Right, because that's some of that really dieter mentality thinking that really destroys progress.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're not perfect, and yet the dieter mentality is when you quit a diet, I quit a diet when I blow a diet because I wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. We're trying to get rid of that type of thinking.
To learn to eat food.
Right. The other really interesting thing that happens is that when people then have a craving and they know they'll be able to eat it on the day that they're allowed to eat it, they don't want it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it helps dealing with those cravings so that you can then think, okay, I know I want it now, but if I get to whatever day, Saturday, I'm probably not going to care that much. Mm-hmm. So it teaches us that we can live through a craving and we don't have to be so impulsive about that. And then it also helps people reflect on how the food makes them feel because they know it's the only thing that was different in their plan.
Yeah.
And that worked for me because I was able to go, oh, okay, well, now obviously I know what gave me the stomachache. Right. Or made me feel really tired. And then it gives you a second pause when you think about maybe eating that again.
Yeah.
So it's a really good learning strategy. And people are kind of worried, you know, what's going to happen to my weight or what's going to happen to my blood sugar and things like that. And, you know, the answer is we don't really know. We have to see. And depending on how you respond, then we can decide whether that's something that we're going to have in the plan or not, and in what quantity.
And Brandy, as I'm listening to you about this practice, it also speaks to those weight loss programs or those dieting programs where people are just eating packaged foods, which is kind of the other end of the spectrum that you're talking about, because if all you do in a weight loss program is eat the packaged foods that are being offered, you're not really learning anything, are you? And then once they take the packaged foods away, you're standing there going, now what?
Yeah,
I
think the packaged foods are to create a dependency on the packaged foods.
Yeah.
And you think that's the only way you'll have success.
Yeah, so we're seeing people then go off those programs and fail.
Right.
Frankly, they haven't learned anything. They don't know what to do.
Right. They don't know how food works in their body and how it's going to impact them later.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Other success stories. What else have we heard?
I've had a client this week that she was doing great on her own. She was working with us, but doing very well personally, and then got the insight that for her children, they need to start eating whole foods to not push this on another. And her kids are real little. They're 3 and 4 years old. And she had been recognizing and had stopped rewarding them with food. You know, if you be real good, we'll stop for ice cream. She started several months ago saying, you know, if you guys be really good, we'll play a game when we get home, which works just as well. Kids love attention. But then recognizing that she just always kind of did still buy in that kids need treats, mm-hmm. and started looking at their food more carefully than mm-hmm. what are they, you know, I'm going to have whole foods in the house and they can have that. And yeah, they griped a little bit in the beginning, she said, but they're 3 and 4 years old. They're not buying the groceries.
Right.
So, you know, she was giving them fruit instead of crackers, and, you know, she's changing her whole relationship with food, that it's no longer a reward. It's fuel. And, you know, she was a good mom in, as she put it, I thought I was a pretty good mom in all areas, but she was always giving my kids poison.
Yeah.
It's funny you would say that, Marlene, because I had a patient actually just this morning who said, my 11-year-old son hates leftovers. And she went on our website and looked at, oh, I don't know which one of you posted on the website. It's one of our meatloafs, a keto meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I haven't looked. I probably should. And her son liked it so much that he wanted it for school the next day. And he always hates leftovers. So it must have been good. Good
That's
job, whoever posted that. That was a huge success.
Yeah.
She was really happy about that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to stay a little more relevant, and actually we're going to discuss a recipe that I made and tested out, and will be posted on our website in a little bit.
Well, that's a great segue. It's time for another break. So this is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Brandy, maybe we can talk about some recipes.
Okay.
Introducing 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions, a unique weight loss clinic backed by real medical research with a treatment focusing on the entire person, mind, body, and spirit. From medical services for obesity and high blood pressure to behavioral services for emotional eating and depression, 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions can help you change your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself, and with life. Find out more, 425-606-0022. Or online at 3.health. That's 3.health.
Talk radio with a purpose. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. Just before the break, I said that we were going to go to recipes. And at the break, Brandy said, wait a minute, I don't want to do recipes yet. We have more success stories. So, Brandy, you're on. Let's talk about more success stories this week that we heard from patients, which I love. It's great hearing all of these things.
Yeah, I love the fact that we had another male patient come in who had traditionally been able to lose a pretty profound amount of weight very quickly.
On other diets.
And he'd done it several times.
In other words, lost, regained, lost,
yes,
regained.
Yes, yes. Okay. He did a lot of yo-yoing. And actually, he had been very proud of the fact that he lost 30 pounds in 30 days once.
I think I heard that ad.
Yeah. Okay. And then he told me that he was at some social function on day 30. And he was, you know, just standing there. He had his little cup of coffee because it was the only thing he could have. And he saw this woman's face. She was approaching him and just this look of horror on her face. And he couldn't figure out why. And then he found himself passed out on the floor.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
She was watching him pass
fall,
out.
Pass out. Okay.
Yeah.
That was his 30 pounds in 30 days.
That was his story. Yeah. And so he's losing weight, and it's slower than that. But he's recognizing that the speed and the rate of weight loss isn't as important as figuring out how to do it longer.
He's really changing his it's exciting to work with him because he's changing his relationship with food.
Right. And one of the main kind of amplifiers to his progress was in the last month, we have implemented some intermittent fasting, so he doesn't eat past 7 or 8, depending on what time he gets home from work.
So Brandy, also, I'm aware of this patient because we're working with him, and I look at his chart notes. Let's talk about some of the cardiometabolic things that's happening with his patients. It's not just about weight loss.
No, we've seen some pretty dramatic improvements in his blood sugar. He was very close to being diabetic when he first got here, and those have been reversed. He's out of the danger zone in terms of he's no longer pre-diabetic. We've seen vast improvements in his cholesterol numbers. Insulin levels have decreased, and he's feeling really good. He can do a lot more physically. He's always been very active, but he's doing it with a lot more sort of appreciation for being a little lighter and doing it and feeling good. So I think those are all major successes.
So reversing those high scores is a really big deal.
It's huge.
He was headed for some trouble.
And, I mean, he didn't have to lose weight at breakneck speeds to get that result. We just had to change the food and kind of use the food more as the medicine to increase metabolism and force the body to burn fat and decrease blood sugar.
And so doing his blood draws and his biometrics, you've been able to look at those results and show him those results over the last couple months as he's come in?
We've had a couple tests. His body composition turned out to be really impressive. He had a very small amount of muscle loss, which is normal, but almost all of the weight that he had lost was coming from body fat, which is why we see those vast improvements in the metabolic markers.
So showing him those markers, he must be really excited. So it's just not the number on the scale. He's seeing what's happening to him self-medically.
That's what's impacting his continued motivation, right? Because if his standard is 30 pounds in 30 days, and that's what equals success, he probably would have gotten off track by now because he's not having that kind of rate.
Not to mention the big lump on his head when he hit the floor.
right.
Yeah, he's really able to challenge that diet mentality. Mm-hmm. He recognizes it, which is always the first step, and then to say, no, this is working okay. He's losing, between appointments, every 2 weeks or so, 6-7 pounds, but it's also, his health has improved, but he's keeping it off.
Right. He said that he would have quit a long time ago if he hadn't been in our program and had the support.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
No, it's really exciting.
So I have a patient, a female, who was a successful college athlete at a high level, and she has... Brandy, you and I are working with her, and she's sort of hit her weight loss goal or the number on the scale goal, but she's still going to work with us for some time because now she wants to hit goals with her biometrics.
Mm-hmm.
She's really interested, having been an athlete in the past, and still is, actually. She still is an athlete, but she wants to start looking at her lean muscle mass, her body fat percentages, how she looks how she's performing athletically, and the number on the scale isn't quite that important to her right now. So what have you been discussing with her about that?
We have been discussing that she does have kind of some residual desire to hit a certain goal weight by a certain date. And she's recognizing that is part of her personality. She's driven and competitive. Right. That's what made her a good athlete.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, she recognizes that the way that she feels and the way she feels about how she looks is far more important than that number. But she's sort of grappling with kind of balancing those two things. And when we met last, I said, well, I can definitely get you to lose 5 more pounds in the next month. That's not the challenge. It would be whether it was done healthily and or if it was going to stay off. So we can do it if you definitely want to hit that number. But I think the bigger question is what's more important to you? And she said, yeah, I'm thinking about that. So
I love it when people get that personal insight.
Yeah.
You know what I found interesting, Brandy, is I'm working with her, and she was in an athletic program, varsity program at a major university, a D1 level. And she said to me, I never learned at the university around the training table at the university what I've learned with Brandy in nutrition. She goes, I'm learning things now in nutrition that they never taught me at the university level when I was a D1 athlete. And I found that statement fascinating.
Yeah,
that
that's
there was
great.
No nutrition training truly for her as an athlete that she's now learning here, and she's pretty excited about
it. Yeah, I actually worry about athletes a lot because I think that they start off with really great metabolisms and they can eat pretty much whatever. And they do until they stop doing their sport, and then they may not stop eating that way. And there's, I think, a lot of dysfunctional eating in the athlete world. I mean, certainly when it gets down to like bodybuilding and things like that, we know that there's issues there. But it's great to hear that I was able to give her some insight and education on nutrition. You'd think that they would get that.
I thought so too, and.
They get a lot of faulty information.
So. Yeah, there's a lot of bad information.
My brothers were wrestlers in high school, and it was just, I mean, it came in handy when I was in grad school doing eating disorders. I could really visualize what they looked like, and they'd have to make weight one way or another, up or down.
Mm-hmm.
And on the days they needed to gain weight, it was just a free-for-all of carbs.
Yeah.
And then when they'd starve themselves to be in a different category.
If only they knew about keto.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where their problem is. A lot of the information that the athletes receive is based on energy, right? You need energy right now. Mm-hmm. And so the quickest way to get energy is carbs or sugar or Gatorade.
Right.
And so they use those tools, which are helpful and beneficial to them in that moment. But in the long term, like you said, when they stop doing that activity, mm-hmm. it's going to hurt them.
Well, and they're also at the mercy of having to refuel all the time.
Yeah.
So
their energy source is where the problem lies for athletes.
Yeah.
So we're still on success stories. Who else has around the table has another success story for us?
I had another female patient that had really good success despite having a completely, I would say, challenging time with her social group that she meets with once a month or so.
Another group of females, was it?
Not all.
Okay.
No.
All
right. Just they get together and travel and stop and eat places. And she was able to stay on plan, but she was getting some, I guess, flack from not partaking in certain foods. And she was processing that with me. And I said, well, is there anyone in your group that has a gluten intolerance? And she said, actually, there is. And I said, okay, well, anybody in the group that doesn't drink? There is. She goes, that's, you know, one of the things that we have to work on with some of the people. And so I said, well, what's different about you changing your eating? What if you had an allergy to something instead of it just being about, you know, your weight, which it isn't just about weight. It's about pain relief. It's about arthritis. It's about metabolic issues. And I said, again, if you put this in the perspective of I'm eating differently for my health, there's not too many people that are going to tell you to stop being so healthy.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting, and she gained a lot of, I think, insight into that this is possible, mm-hmm. and that she doesn't have to hide it or make up excuses. And, you know, she works with you guys around the boundaries and sabotage and things like that, mm-hmm. too. So
yeah, we talk a lot about it because people seem to be understanding about glucose intolerance. What is that?
Gluten.
Gluten intolerance, or I'm allergic to that, and I'm like, and so you have a carbohydrate intolerance.
And that's actually true.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the studies are really showing lots of people.
Right. Or it can be even maybe a little more innocuous than that. You can say, mm-hmm. I'm dealing with some health issues. Mm-hmm. And often people won't even push beyond that, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable with that, use it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very unfortunate that we can't get support from people when we say we're working on our weight. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they try harder to sabotage you when you say that. And I'm not sure what the issue is with that, but it's unfortunate.
You know, reminds people that maybe they need to work on their weight and they don't want to, but to just say I'm it's a health issue I have.
So we had this last week. We had some great success stories. I love hearing it. It puts a smile on my face, and I see smiles on your faces, and it's kind of why we love doing this work.
Yeah,
it really feels good.
It's the reward.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. So it is time for a break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health, and we'll be coming into our last segment. So we'll take a break.
Introducing 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions, a unique weight loss clinic backed by real medical research with a treatment focusing on the entire person, mind, body, and spirit. From medical services for obesity and high blood pressure to behavioral services for emotional eating and depression, 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions can help you change your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself, and with life. Find out more, 425-606-0022. Or online at 3.health. That's 3.health.
Going against the grain has never been this much fun. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. This is our final segment, and we've been talking about some patient success stories. In fact, we had quite a few of them this week. And Brandy, last week in our program, we talked about eating out at restaurants, and in fact, we picked a number of types of restaurants to talk about different menu choices that our patients could have. And I know Italian was a big one, and we talked specifically, or you did, about Olive Garden.
Right, and then I got really hungry, so I set out on a quest to make some ketogenic lasagna.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. And I never get to eat any of this. I can't.
She brings it for me. That's pretty good.
She just brings it for me.
There's only so much to go around. Sorry.
Well, I'm the single guy in the group. Aren't you supposed to be feeding me?
I didn't know that was my
1950.
Job.
1950.
But you know what? This recipe will be posted on our website, and you're welcome to it.
There you go. Yeah. I need to start doing that.
Do we need to have cooking classes?
I think so.
Okay.
I think
that's
be
an
great
idea.
I will teach you how to do it. So this is a really, it's not simple. I would say it's not a simple recipe because there's quite a few steps, but all of the ingredients are kind of run-of-the-mill stuff that you can find anywhere, which is my first requirement for any recipe, mm-hmm. because I don't put things into food that I don't know what it is or have to look it up.
And I don't want to have to go to 15 different specialty shops to
exactly.
buy something.
That's just not my deal. I'm sure there's a lot of people that like doing that, but I'm not one of them. So what was interesting, too, about this recipe is that the website that it's on, called Peace, Love, and Low Carb, has a ton of other recipes, and I like that they could you could scale it to how many servings.
Oh.
So it gives you different amounts of things based on how many portions you want to make. So what was interesting is that there is an alternative noodle that you make.
Oh.
And you do that first. And this was, I think, the aha of the whole recipe because, as we know, lasagna has other stuff like meat and spaghetti sauce or marinara sauce and ricotta cheese and seasonings and things like that. And that's all pretty run-of-the-mill. But in this
one... That's run-of-the-mill for keto.
Yeah, and for lasagna.
Okay.
It's all typical stuff that you would find in a lasagna recipe that includes pasta noodles. So you make the noodles, and it's really easy. It's eggs, cream cheese, Parmesan, seasoning, and then you add some shredded mozzarella, and it makes sort of a, I hate this word, but I don't have a better one to describe it, sort of like a slurry. And then you spread this on parchment paper and bake it. And I made... 2 pans of this because I was making a big lasagna, but I made it kind of too big, so I had to trim it to fit into my 9x13 pan. And so when I trimmed it off, I thought, I'm going to taste this. And it tasted just like a breadstick.
Huh.
So now I have found that it works really good as a pizza crust and or breadsticks and or anything else that you would want some kind of bread recipe for. Which is exciting because that's some of the stuff that people miss the most is bread. And it just turned out really good and it was pretty easy. So then you make the noodles. They have to chill for a little bit after you've taken them out of the oven. And then you just layer all of your normal ingredients and bake it again. And it turns out really flavorful and really high in protein and fat.
And did you say that you made 2 9x13 pans of this?
No, I made 2 noodle pans.
Okay.
Because I needed 2 layers.
He's wondering why he didn't get any.
No kidding. You can see where I was going with Alexis already knew where I was going with this. It's like you were going to be in trouble.
No, I had 2 layers of noodles in my lasagna. Okay.
All right.
So I think Italian food tends to be one that we struggle with and people want alternatives to. Mm-hmm. So I think that this recipe is perfect for that.
It was approved by your spouse, too, right?
Who's a lasagna lover. Addict. Yeah, he said it was pretty good.
Wow.
That's a direct quote.
High praise indeed.
Yeah. So we're going to keep working on different recipes. We do have quite a few on our website already. Mm-hmm. But I like to try them out because there are also a lot of them that don't work out very well.
Yeah, or too complicated. I, like you said, I don't like the complicated recipes. I need something that's easy enough for the average bear to do.
Yeah.
Do you have a pizza crust that we could do?
Well, this...
Is this in essence also could work as a pizza crust?
Yeah. Right, and we do have an alternative, which is the chicken crust pizza, which is fairly easy too, and it's much higher in protein. It's very satisfying. Mm-hmm. I would say that lots of people like the cauliflower crust. I've just never been able to make it really good. I guess I'm too impatient and there's a lot of steps. So.
It takes a lot of straining of the moisture out of it, and it's just kind of an ordeal. It's easier just to make the chicken crust.
And that turns out pretty good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Really? Brad and I wouldn't know.
Well,
we've made it a few times. I think we made it on the same night the first time we saw the recipe.
We did.
We were excited.
We were sharing pictures.
You could even do that around a birthday party or something. I think
that'd
be great. Oh,
yeah, of course. Yeah. We had the patient that told us about the recipe told us that she makes them into little tiny circles and she freezes a bunch of them. So when her kids want a pizza, she can pull it out of the freezer, put the toppings on it, and put it in the oven and be done.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
I guess you can purchase them as well.
You can. Interesting. Yeah.
You can purchase the chicken crust?
The chicken crusts and make your own pizza.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important. All the recipes that we'll be putting on the website have been vetted.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them already that we've tried, and they're all really good.
That's great.
Right. They're also, here's a trigger warning, going to be higher in fat and use whole food fats and not light and low fat items. So that's the way it's supposed to be, because we're doing a higher fat, ketogenic, low carb plan.
Okay.
There's even desserts on there.
There are.
Did you put the fat bombs on there?
Yes.
Because I got to try one of those.
Was it good?
It was delicious.
I think the pizza and the fat bombs would be perfect for a birthday party.
Oh, dear. Somebody having a birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wonder if you could make the fat bombs like into what looks like a cake pop. You know, so people.
I bet you could.
Probably. Stick, put it on a stick, trick the kids.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
I have also.
Maybe this weekend.
I have taken baker's chocolate, which is not sweet at all, and then added my own, melted it, and added my own sweetener, and made my own little chocolates. But they go by, they get eaten really fast. So. There's a lot of things that you can do, and the recipes are, you know, pretty easy to find if you're at all curious. There's tons of good low-carb websites.
Yes.
And recipes. And just try to be as simple and logical as possible when you're looking at them.
And I like, so I just made one. It was the bacon-wrapped meatloaf. Mm. And the recipe itself called for such an abundant amount that I was able to make two of them and just stick one in the freezer. So when I'm pressed for time, I can pull that out of the freezer and stick it in the oven.
That's an important part that I talk to clients about is the time management. And that, you know, we do have to look at our schedules and determine when we're going to plan meals. And, you know, this it doesn't happen magically.
No.
But it is worth taking the time for because it's basically self-care.
Right. I really love, I'm in love with the click list.
Yeah.
And any of those kind of services that you can put your order in and pull up and pick it up and you're on your way.
Those can help in so many ways. Financially, it's cheaper to shop off a list.
It's better because you can plan what you need ahead of time and make sure you don't forget that one ingredient that you really need.
And then you're not wandering the grocery store fighting yourself saying, I shouldn't have this. I wish I could have that. Let somebody else do that for you.
Yeah, it's a really great idea. Yeah.
And you're trying some of the subscription services, aren't you? Like Butcher Box?
Yeah. I haven't gotten it yet, so I can't really tell you, but it's all grass-fed, outdoor-raised meat, heirloom pork and organic chicken, all that stuff.
So that's called Butcher Block?
Butcher Box.
Box.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll tell us about that in a future program. I'd like to hear about that.
I sure will.
That'd be great. So, Marlene, you and I are going to be starting support groups.
Yeah.
And Alexis, help me with this. I know that we're going to have one coming up in July.
Yeah. So in July, on July 9th, it's every second Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
And for right now, we're having it at our admin's location. But that's subject to change, just depending on how many people RSVP, so that we can make sure we have enough seats for everybody to join. So the next one on July 9th, you can RSVP at contact us at 3.health, or you can call our office 425-606-0022. You do not need to be a patient in order to attend, but you'll be able to sit down with the providers and have a conversation that's based on a topic of the day. So different things, including like self-care or time management, those things are discussed among patients and non-patients and some of the struggles, challenges, and accomplishments those people have. It's a way for people to meet other people in their community that are also struggling with their weight, but also share successes and things that have helped keep the motivation going.
Okay, so you're going to be managing the RSVP list.
Yes.
And Marlene, so you can email Marlene me. And I will be the providers at those meetings, and we'll have topics and be talking.
And studies have shown, even if you've reached your health and fitness goals, that support groups help people to sustain those.
Right.
And they do help if you're still in the challenge of losing weight or changing your metabolism. So support groups are a valuable resource.
Yeah, I think it keeps the thought about health in the forefront of your brain. Yeah.
And people get support and solutions. From people who are in the same situation.
Yeah.
So it's very valuable.
Or different perspectives. I think that's important, too.
Right.
Yeah, it's. I think it's an important part of this whole. I don't like the word journey. It gets so overused, but I don't have another word
process.
For it. The process. I do. I like that better. Journey got overused, especially in therapy circles.
Yeah.
But I'm all for, you know, it's not one magic thing. It's a whole bunch of little things put together for successful, sustainable weight loss.
Right.
Support group. Support is part of that.
And changing your relationship with food is mm-hmm. going to be an important goal of all of that.
Yep.
All right.
So we hope you'll contact us.
Yeah, let us know. And then, so that's contactus@3.health. You can just email me, and I'll put you on the list.
That's great.
If you have any recipes that you'd like to have modified for low-carb or keto, send them our way, and I'll see what I can come up with.
Yeah. Brandy, how often are you putting recipes on the website?
Usually weekly.
Okay. So,
we try to keep it fresh.
If you check out the website at least once a week or more, you may see new things on there. And I know that with the blog that you and Alexis are doing, we have new things on there. We put on things that we're writing on the website weekly. Mm-hmm. And so we want our website to be dynamic. There are new things on there every week in a number of different areas. So it's worth checking it out.
Yeah, it's a valuable resource for things like recipes. And the blog definitely talks about topics that we discuss every day with our patients.
Okay.
And you can listen to the podcast that Brandy and Alexis do and learn about keto dieting and horror movies.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of fun.
And we do also post our radio show on the website as well as KKNW's website.
Yeah.
So in iTunes, I think, too, Alexis, it's available.
Well, wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to find both Weight Loss Conversations and me and Brandy's podcast For Fat's Sake.
That's great. So this has been Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health, and as I mentioned at the beginning, we offer medical and behavioral solutions not only for weight loss, but reversing diabetes and treating cardiometabolic disorders. And it's been great to be with you this week, and we'll sign off. So
Take care. Have a good week.
Safe.
Thanks for listening to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. We love hearing from our audience, so be sure to drop us a note. We so appreciate when you tell family and friends about our program. Also, don't forget that our past programs are found at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. Have a wonderful week and tune in next Monday at 8 a.m. That's 8 a.m. Monday. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
The content and opinions expressed during this program were those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.